from the studios of WAER.
And he's standing up into the goal line. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle gets a screen, pull up, is good. Tyus Battle from 20 feet, and with 2.5 on the clock, Syracuse leads by one.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside. He scores the game winner. Give the assist to Don Madonna. Syracuse wins 11-10.
Comes the Ostrom Avenue podcast.
To Boeheim, quick trigger three from the top. He knocks it down, and we're tied at Spectrum Center.
15 left. He shoots and scores. Tucker Dornovic.
Perhaps the biggest upset in program history comes on Friday the 13th.
And now, your hosts, Brendan Mortensen and Owen Valentine.
Seven points have decided the last two Syracuse basketball games. One of them a victory, the other one, the Orange come out on the losing end. Could it spell disaster for the rest of the Cuse basketball season? That's what we're going to discuss. I'm Brendan Mortensen alongside Ben Schulman and Owen Valentine. Let's start quickly on Saturday. Bryson Goodine hits the game winner against Wake Forest, a 75-73 victory in the Carrier Dome.
Under 10 to go now. Hughes starts to work. Eli steps back, three, no. Tapped rebound back to Goodine. Put back, yes, with 1.5. Bryson Goodine. This place erupts.
We thought this would be kind of the beginning of the upward trajectory of a little two-game stretch before Florida State and Louisville, and then sadly it was not, but a good win against Wake Forest nonetheless at home.
It was not a good win or a bad win.
It was a win.
It was a win, period. Syracuse was up by 16 in the second half. Like, they should have blown Wake Forest out of the water, and it looked like they were going to do that. And then it was kind of that recurring theme that you've seen so many times this season where they just can't hold on to the lead. And they were down four late. They get into foul trouble. And how about this? You mentioned Goodine with the game winner, but the unconventional way that happens. It's a Hughes missed three for the win. Jesse Edwards tips the ball to Bryson Goodine. Did you think that would ever be a combo, let alone to win an ACC basketball game?
I mean, it was chaos. So obvious. You didn't see that coming, Owen?
I know. We over on WAER Sports Talk on Twitter, we tweeted out a poll, like, how is this game going to end? And it was Wake Forest upset, Syracuse wins a close one, Syracuse blows them out. And I forget what the last option was.
It must have been Jesse Edwards.
It had to have been. Jesse Edwards tips the ball to Bryson Goodine for the win. Utter chaos, and you know what? It works out in Syracuse's favor. They win a game that it wasn't a must-win. It was a can't-lose, and they didn't lose.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tough win for me, though. It was frustrating. What frustrated the most, I think, was just the late second-half collapse. You know, it's just how many times is this team going to put themselves in danger of blowing leads, and it seems to be a constant thing. And, you know, they were 1-for-6 from three-point range in the second half, and hindsight is 20/20, but that will be a theme going forward. You know, to have all three of your bigs foul out with, I think, over 10 minutes to go or close to it, and have Jesse Edwards have to play, you know, 10 full minutes down the stretch. You can't have that and win basketball games. They got lucky against Wake Forest, to be frank. They played a great 25-30 minutes, but you know, as you said, who would have, like, you know, it was plus 15 million that Jesse Edwards was going to tip a ball to Bryson Goodine to hit a game winner. Like, you know, you got to rely on luck sometimes, but this was a little too close to comfort for me.
Wake Forest at home, a Syracuse win, like Owen said, one of those not a must win, more of a can't lose.
Yes.
Home last night against NC State. That was a little bit of both, I think. It was kind of a must-win, and it was also a can't-lose, and Syracuse did just that. Lost 79-74 at home. Biggest reason why, Elijah Hughes comes out of the game 2 minutes in, sustained an injury during warm-ups. It seemed like he tried to play through it a little bit at the beginning of the game, wasn't able to, plays just 3 minutes, records one turnover. That's his only stat, a trillion. And
I know. Ugh.
That's what you get from Elijah Hughes. Joe Girard has a fantastic game, 30 points, second most by a Syracuse freshman ever. Quincy Guerrier with 16 and 10, his first, no, second double-double of the season? Best game by Quincy Gary.
Correct.
Regardless.
Let's roll with that.
37 minutes, just one personal foul.
Boeheim far wing. Bounce pass Gary. Posting up Funderburk. Drives. Left-handed hook. And one. It's good for Quincy. He's got all four of Syracuse's second half points and goes to the line to try and cut the deficit to four.
And you get 13 from Marek Dolezal, 10 from Buddy Boeheim, but not enough.
How about that for Joe Girard? His 30 points make him just the third freshman ever to score 30 points in Syracuse basketball history. The company he joins, Carmelo Anthony, Pearl Washington.
Those guys are good.
I believe he's the first SU freshman to do it at the Dome, too, because Pearl wasn't at the Dome and Melo did it on the road.
Yeah.
So he's it's the first time that SU fans have seen one of their freshmen score 30. It's pretty impressive.
Syracuse left to right. Joe, contested floater. Yes, and the foul. He was bumped from the left side, falling to the right, put it in with the right, and a 92% foul shooter can make it a 2-point lead for NC State.
That it's an unbelievable game for him, at least from inside the arc. But you mentioned it. There were so much on the line in this game, not only in the ACC standings, but both of these teams desperately needed a win last night in order to build that NCAA tournament resume, because they're both right now on the outside looking in, need to build up some steam, need to rack up a handful of wins, and that's why this is such a devastating loss for Syracuse. This is one of those games where it's not the must win because the team is so bad. It's a must win because this is that middle of the pack win, that game that they have lost too many times this season. And it's the reason that they are in the position that they are right now. They needed this win. They needed to get that. It's not necessarily a resume building win, but the loss does so much to Syracuse, because to bring them down to 14-10 now, it's going to make getting into the NCAA tournament or building up a resume that even puts you in the conversation on Selection Sunday so much more difficult.
Yeah, I think up until now there was a bit of skepticism about Syracuse. You know, nationally, people weren't sure if they were on the bubble or if they were just beating bad ACC teams. I agree with you that this wouldn't have been a huge resume builder, and this is subjective, but NC State, you know, was on bracketology. They're on the bubble. So to a certain extent, this win would have validated Syracuse as a legitimate bubble team.
Okay, I agree with that.
A team who can come in and has a chance. Instead of, like, you know, maybe if they win everything. Now, like, okay, Syracuse has put together a resume if they can pick up a couple wins. But because they lose this game, the season's only getting shorter. They're only backing themselves into a corner here where, you know, if you picked up some bad losses at the beginning of the season, if you're Syracuse, now you have to go get some good wins. And that's going to be tough, both of them coming on the road coming up. I think Joe Girard, I can't be too – I know some people are being critical of him. But as a freshman, to watch your best player go out and then step up and score 30 points in his absence against a pretty good team. Like, not, you know, they're not amazing, but a pretty good basketball team.
For sure.
You know, I give him a lot of credit there. I was more disappointed in the performance of Buddy Boeheim.
Yep. Yeah.
He, you know, aside from the fact that obviously he just shot horribly and efficiently, he just really didn't show up until the second half.
And then two major turnovers in the second half when Syracuse kind of blows that lead.
Five total turnovers for Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah.
Two were really, really bad.
Yeah.
Five for Mark as well. Mm-hmm. Girard only turned over the ball one time as the primary ball handler.
I'll say my most impressive thing for Girard is we kind of all have this moment where you hear Girard scores 30 points and you just naturally assume that it's because he hits
like
eight threes or something crazy, some crazy three-point night. He scores 3 points from beyond the arc. This was a side of Girard that you've seen for glimpses. You've seen flashes of it, but you really haven't seen him rely on the drive too much. And it just shows tonight that he has a really strong capability and a really strong finish around the rim, some acrobatic finishes, a couple of and ones last night. And if nothing else, he's getting to the line. And you know he is just automatic from there, above 90%, one of the best free throw shooters in the country. So if he can continue to do that, even in games where he isn't the number one option, if Elijah Hughes comes back, if Buddy Boeheim is playing a better game than he was last night, for Girard to be able to get that drive going, it's not only going to create options for him, but it's going to create a lot of open threes on the outside if defenses collapse and have to make some switches and you can create mismatches. It's going to be so valuable for Syracuse to kind of squeeze a couple of wins together in hopes of developing that resume.
And the important thing for Joe Girard, too, is he's not going to shoot 1 of 10 from 3 every game.
No.
I mean, this was a really bad game from behind the arc from Joe Girard, but this is going to be an outlier. He's not going to shoot that poorly from 3 consistently.
No.
And you'd like to say the same thing about Buddy Boeheim as well. But I agree with you guys. I think the most impressive thing about this is that when Elijah Hughes goes out of this game, you expect Marek Dolezal and Buddy Boeheim to step up.
Yeah.
Those are the two players that you would look at on this Syracuse team and say, okay, carry the load. Hughes is out. You two have to go take it. And yet, it's the freshman. Joe Girard with 30 points on 9 of 22 shooting. I mean, he's shooting the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Syracuse needed him to.
Yeah,
they needed somebody to just take the ball and put it in the basket, my goodness. And he goes 11 from 12 from the free throw line. And then Quincy Guerrier. Best game of Quincy Guerrier's career. 16 points, 10 rebounds.
Throw the best stat out there.
One personal foul in 37 minutes. My goodness, this guy was absolutely bawling last night. And Syracuse is not in this game, not even close to being in this game, without the play of those two freshmen. So I don't know where I am on the spectrum between I'm really impressed with the two freshmen and how they played, or I'm really disappointed in how Marek Dolezal and Buddy Boeheim played. I think I'm smack in the middle between those two.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I was incredibly impressed just by both of the freshmen's like mental fortitude, kind of just to say, you know, we're going to take this game over. And I'm going to make a really Canadian hot take here. But I still think that Quincy Guerrier, obviously not this year, but he can be a first-round player. I think what we saw last night.
I think he's in the starting five. Go back and listen to that podcast.
I think he's also in the starting
five. Owen doesn't want you to. Barama Sidibe, by the way, 25 minutes, 5 personal fouls, 2 points, 3 rebounds.
7 straight games with 4 or more fouls, 4 straight games fouling out. Pretty impressive stuff from Barama.
Say what you will. That is incredibly impressive.
I will say, for Barama Sidibe, when you look at the national rankings for field goal percentage,
oh gosh,
he is 25th in the country. No. That's all I've got. We'll go back to the game.
50% tonight. I'll give you that. But we'll go back to the game. 6-12. Anyway.
But yes, Guerrier. Yes. I think last night, and I think Jim Boeheim said a similar thing to kind of how I feel in his press conference after the game. You know, Quincy was great, and there's still so much more.
Exactly.
You know, there's still. He came to this team with the thought that he would actually spend a lot of time at the three-point line, too. Kind of like O'Shea, you know, where he was inside and out as a freshman. He could post you up, but he could step out. And he really hasn't established any sort of game beyond the arc. But he's starting to get a handle offensively down low. He scored 16 in this game, 13 against Wake. He had 10 a couple games ago. He's starting to really get his feel here, and I think starting to understand his role in the offense. He looked kind of lost for a lot of the beginning of the season. But now he gets the in and outs of where he needs to go to get the ball instead of just trying to force threes or get the ball to the 3-point line and drive right at a guy and pick up a charge.
He's learning.
Yeah.
He's really improved.
It was not that simple case that you've seen game in and game out where he picks up those silly fouls, those frustration fouls, the unnecessary fouls where you basically just let up a rebound on the defensive end or on the offensive end, the opposing team gets the rebound, and you just get a little slap foul. He strayed away from that, and it shows in the performance. He was able to play with confidence, and he was able to play just that athletic game that he plays, that offensive rebound putback. He was able to fight on the glass and get those points that he wasn't necessarily able to get in games past because you can't play with that same freedom with the foul trouble that he has been in. It was such a great little performance from him, and it once again just shows the ceiling is so high with him. If he can continuously stay out of foul trouble, I think you're going to see him breach the 20-25 point margin by the end of the season. If he can stay out of foul trouble, he'll have that game where you start to see what you can expect out of him next season. When he's figured things out and he is that more experienced player and has started to figure things out, one of my favorite moments from last night out of Guerrier, there were two spots where he gets the ball wide open on the three and he thought about it. And everyone is like, no, you cannot shoot.
Please, you cannot shoot.
And he didn't. Hits a nice pump fake and then comes in on the dribble drive and plays a smart game. He had great backdoor cuts. He was open play in and play out, and he plays that phenomenal game. You go back, the two freshmen, our WAER alum Tyler Aki calls them the Clementines, and he even threw Jesse Edwards in there. They're not quite oranges, but they're getting there. They're becoming the orange, and these guys play an incredible game, step up, and pick up a lot of the weight lost when you see Elijah Hughes come out of the game 2.5 minutes in and are the reason that Syracuse is even in this game.
A lot of positives from Joe Girard, a lot of positives from Quincy Guerrier, but at the end of the day, it's February 12th. Syracuse loses a game against a middle-of-the-pack ACC team.
NC State finishes on a 17-6 run. Syracuse was up 6 with 6.5 minutes to go.
And now in the conference, the Orange are 7-6. That is 6th in the conference, tied with NC State at 7-6. And when you look at overall record, here's the teams with a better overall record than Syracuse just in the conference. Louisville, Duke, Florida State, Virginia, NC State, Notre Dame, Pitt, and Virginia Tech is tied with Syracuse at 14-10.
In the conference, we're ahead of it, or they are ahead of a handful of those teams.
Correct.
In the conference, they're ahead of Notre Dame, Pitt, and Virginia Tech. But looking at overall record,
yes,
that's not great.
Yeah.
In a conference, in an ACC conference, that again, it's hard to overstate this, but the ACC is not the ACC of the last few years. This is a three-team conference. Louisville standing at number 5, Duke at number 7, and Saturday's opponent, Florida State, standing at number 8, and that's who Syracuse
And outside
has
Virginia,
next.
Who else does ACC even have in the tournament right now? There's not
Virginia,
a
I think, Virginia and NC State are both bubble teams.
I think NC State at this point would probably be in. I think they'd give the ACC 5 if bracketology came out today. But it'd be close. It's probably going to be 4 or 5.
4 or 5, yeah, definitely.
It's not going to get to 6.
Remember 2 weeks ago when Syracuse was 13-7 and about to play Clemson, one of the weakest ACC opponents that they would have, and how things have changed since then? Syracuse loses 3 of their last 4. They're now at 14-10, and it went from, okay, they've got a good chance at making the tournament if they can knock off one of the big 3 in the ACC. And then if they do that, they've even got one loss that they can throw in there anywhere. No, not anymore. It's crunch time for Syracuse. They've got to get wins. They've got to rack wins up, and they've got to rack wins up quickly. And they've got their two of their 3 toughest games on the schedule in the next 7 days.
We talked about this Florida State game on Saturday, and we're chatting about just how important it was. This game now goes from important to whatever beyond important is.
We talked about can't lose games. This is must win.
This is must win territory for Syracuse on Saturday, traveling to Florida State, where, by the way, the Seminoles are 12-0 this year at home. This Florida State team, the more you look at them, it's a weird team. They're hard to kind of diagnose until you dive deeper into them. It's a really good overall basketball team, 8th ranked in the country, 20-4 overall. Like I said, 12-0 at home, 10-3 in the ACC. They're 34th in the country in scoring margin. They're beating their opponents on average 10 points a game. But KenPom, we all love KenPom, doesn't love them. They're 20th in the KenPom rankings.
Yeah.
For reference, Syracuse is 59. But a weird Florida State team that Syracuse is traveling to play on Saturday.
Well, good news for Syracuse is they are 4-2 on the road this year. They've got that going for them. But Florida State is a good basketball team. And
KenPom
does have them a little bit lower. And I'll give KenPom this. His rankings are very accurate. And they're very worth noting.
They're very good.
Because a lot of the factor when you look into top 25s and NCAA rankings, it's a lot of record-based stuff. And yes, there's other factors, but it the record goes a lot further there than it does for KenPom. And I don't know. Florida State is a good basketball team. I'm not taking that away from them at all. But when you look at Florida State, I actually think it's an okay matchup for Syracuse, because when you look at all of the losses on Syracuse's schedule, it's because, well, outside of last night, it is because a big man goes off. And Jim Boeheim has mentioned it, and it's not that the bigs are good. It's that Syracuse can't defend a big. Florida State doesn't really play with big men. They've got 2 7-footers, but they don't play too much. They only average about 25% of Florida State's, or 25% of the game's minutes-wise. So these two guys are going to play a combined 20 minutes. Maybe that'll be inflated because of the history that Syracuse has had against bigs. But Florida State plays a pretty small lineup which could be good for Syracuse and also could be bad. But what's good for you, Brendan, and I know you love this argument, is that shorter Florida State lineup means that it's a golden game for Quincy Garrier to get a lot of minutes again.
Yeah, I think this Florida State team is good. I understand why advanced stats and some of that stuff would devalue them. They've won some tight games, especially like they had a 4-point win over Virginia. But at the end of the day, it's because I don't think there's, you know, there's not one main guy. There is, of course, Devin Vassell is great.
Mm-hmm. Devin Vassell is the best player.
And he's a great shooter, but he's still, you know, he's not scoring 20 points every game.
No.
He'll score you 25 one game, but then he'll score 11 the next game. I think what worries me about Florida State is just that they're one of the better three-point shooting teams in the conference. I mean, they're second in three-point percentage. They actually rank in the bottom half of three-point attempts, but I'm going to assume that Leonard Hamilton is going to want his team to be shooting a lot of threes, and they're probably going to do it with a high success rate. Syracuse will not have to worry about that inside game nearly as much, but they're going to have to press up a lot more in the three-point line to take Vassell out of the game.
And this isn't a scary Florida State offensive team. I mean, this year they have three players that are averaging double digits in scoring, with the third player, MJ Walker, averaging just 10.4 points per game. The top scorer is under the 13.5 points per game mark with Devin Vassell, averaging 13.4. Mm-hmm. Second on the team is Trent Forrest with 11.6. Vassell, like I said, is the top scorer on the team, 15th in the conference in points per game. Trent Forrest, the second leading scorer, is 32nd in the conference in points per game. Syracuse has two players in the top five. This is not a high-powered offense for Florida State. The only other teams in the conference without a single scorer higher than Florida State are Virginia and Clemson, whose top scorers are 0.1 points away from Vassell. It's not a dangerous offense.
It's a dangerous defense, though.
Correct.
I will say that's where they burn defense. You. Is I just mentioned Leonard Hamilton, and I think he's a great coach. And they lead the conference in steals per game.
They had 16 steals against Duke earlier this week.
They forced Duke to commit, I think it was 21 turnovers.
Yeah.
They just couldn't shoot the ball, which is pretty uncharacteristic for Florida State. The way that Duke really took Vassell out of the game, they forced Trent Forrest to go win the basketball game for Florida State. And I kind of expect the Orange to do a somewhat similar thing. I really think that Vassell's the only, like, firecracker, if you will, on that team. The other guys can contribute, but I'd be surprised if Trent Forrest could really lead a Florida State offense with a ton of points. But the Seminoles have not shot well. I mean, 3 of 18 from three-point range against Duke. If they can't make threes, they won't beat Syracuse. Syracuse, of course, isn't playing incredible right now, but they can still score enough points to beat Florida State if the Seminoles can't shoot the basketball.
You mentioned it. They shoot well from beyond the arc, but they just don't shoot threes.
No.
When you look at the box score of that Florida State-Duke game, 50 of Florida State's 65 points were inside the paint or from the charity stripe. There was no other offensive attack for them. They only hit three threes in that game. And a couple of mid-range jumpers are everything else, but it's a lot of dribble penetration, a lot of dribble drive, but they shoot the ball really well from three. So I'm curious to see how they approach the zone. Are they going to try and continue to drive? Are they going to attack the bigs in the middle? Or are they going to adapt and take a couple of more threes? You mentioned Devin Vassell. He shoots unbelievably from behind the arc. 42% on the year. He just doesn't shoot a lot.
Only
88 attempts on the season. Which is the most on the team. Not the most. MJ Walker with 89. Second most on the team. Shoot the ball more. If you're shooting 42% from three, I'm interested to see how he approaches the 2-3 zone, because there are so many more open looks from three than when you're playing a man-to-man approach that Duke had against them, or when you're playing those man defenses that you're going to see a lot in the ACC. Are they going to switch things up and try and attack from beyond the arc? Because they shoot the ball at a strong clip, basically top to bottom, when it comes to their three-point shooters. They shoot the ball well from behind the arc, but it is that dribble penetration. They create a lot of points off of turnovers, the transition defense. They'll get out and run against you. Syracuse is going to have to control the ball much better than they did against NC State. A lot of silly turnovers, you can't afford those against Florida State, because they're going to force you to make turnovers. So you can't give them any more than they're already going to get. You can't give them any more golden opportunities.
Yeah, there's no Seminole in the top 15 in the conference in three-pointers made this season. Devin Vassell is the best at 18th. MJ Walker is 25th. They shoot the three-pointer well. They just don't shoot it a lot. But I want to focus on a point that Ben made, which is that honestly, you look at this Florida State team, and nothing really jumps off the board, but the defense does.
Yeah.
They are a really good defensive team, and they're a really just smart team. Mm-hmm. This is a really well-coached basketball team. 10th in the nation in steals with 223. That's most in the ACC. 14th in the nation in turnovers forced. That's an average of over 17.5 per game. That's also the highest in the ACC. Next highest is Duke with 16. We saw firsthand how dangerous that Duke defense was, especially with Trey Jones and Jordan Goldwire at the top. We're talking about a Florida State defense that's even better than that. They're also 16th in the country in turnover margin. They have 100 more turnovers forced than they've turned the ball over. That's also best in the ACC.
Yeah. They're such a good defensive team. We kind of talked about this when we were off the air last week. Like, what about Florida State makes them good? Because it's not like it's not a characteristically good team where you've got a couple of star power players and then everyone else just fills the role. It's basically just game in, game out, someone steps up or it's well distributed scoring. Everyone kind of does their thing and it results in wins. They win basketball games. They've got 20 wins on the season. It just works for them, and it's the defense. When you can create those opportunities, those free points, when you're making wide open layups, throwing the ball down on a dunk in transition, they're extremely high percentage shots or you're getting to the line. It's so valuable to be able to create those steals, create those blocks. The one thing that defensively they struggle with a little bit is they have a pretty high percentage of offensive rebounds allowed. Mm-hmm. They're bottom 20% of the nation in terms of offensive rebounding percentage when they're on the defensive end. And that's something that I think when you look at this matchup between Florida State and Syracuse, a guy like Quincy Guerrier could exploit. You saw it, 2 or 3 putback layups against NC State. He's really good on the offensive glass. If he can get a couple of offensive rebounds, it's going to put Syracuse in a good position, but they've got to figure things out offensively. And if they're going to play another basketball game without Elijah Hughes, it's going to be incredibly difficult to be able to manipulate this Florida State defense.
And they're not a great rebounding team either.
No.
I mean, their best rebounder, again, is Devin Vassell.
Yeah.
Vassell is 6'6", 180 pounds, and he leads the team in rebounding with 5.3 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
He does everything.
Their best rebounder is 28th in the conference in rebounds per game. And
yeah.
And for reference, again, Syracuse has had their fair share of struggles rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
They have players ranked 14th and 15th in the conference in Dolezal and Sidibe, and 29th and 30th, which is right behind Vassell in Elijah Hughes and Quincy Guerrier.
And one of the reasons they struggle rebounding is they play upwards of 50% of their minutes where the tallest player on the floor for them is Malik Osborne at 6'9". They play a very small basketball game. They play a very small lineup, which just naturally when you're going up against some of the bigs in the ACC, these bigger, taller players, you're going to get out-rebounded. And that's the one weakness that you see. And it's weird to see a team get so much praise defensively that struggles on the defensive rebounding aspect of the game. But they do, and that's one of their vulnerabilities. But it's such a strong team. Obviously a really talented team. They go with such great depth. You've got guys that you're going to be able to run a handful more players than you see Syracuse doing. Kind of reminds me of reminds me of Duke in that you've just got someone gets in a foul trouble or someone's not playing well. You've just got options coming in off the bench. They play a ton of different lineups, a ton of different looks, some with size, some without size. So it's going to be interesting to see how they approach this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say one of the only guys that worries me, because of course they have a ton of talented players, but one of the big worries for me out of this roster is a guy like Raekwon Gray.
Yeah,
pardon me.
He's a big boy.
He's one of the larger guys. at 6'8", 260, he's
he's kind
of
got the Zion build.
If we made the Tevin Mack rotation player scores 30 points against Syracuse award, I think Raekwon Gray is my nomination for the Tevin Mack. Like, if anyone who doesn't regularly break out is going to break out, it's going to be Raekwon Gray, whose name I'm horribly struggling to pronounce, but it's really a tongue twister. But one of the things we were talking about earlier, just with the defense, that I think is a big note is Florida State does lack size, I think, in the bigs, but their guards are pretty tall, especially compared to Syracuse's guards. If Devin Vassell is in the face of Joe Girard, he's going to have a tough time. So I think. Syracuse, of course, you always want to limit turnovers, but you have to really especially limit live ball turnovers.
For sure.
Don't give up a bunch of points in transition. Make Florida State set up and beat you on offense instead of just turnovers, easy layups. That's how Florida State's going to take control of this game really easily and kind of run away with it.
Yeah.
Syracuse last night against NC State. Here's the minutes for Syracuse. Mark Dolezal with 40, Buddy Boeheim with 40, Joe Girard 38, Quincy Guerrier 37, Sidibe 15, Edwards 13. That's not too many guys playing a lot of minutes. We've talked about Florida State's defense. We talked about how they're a really good, smart team. I want to talk about the depth.
When you look at Florida State against Duke,
right,
they ran 11 guys 5 or more minutes.
11
guys.
11 players. I'm going to throw some depth stats at you here. This is some analytics for you. Ready? So Florida State has 11 players that have played at least 19 games. Syracuse has 6. Only one player on Florida State averages more than 29 minutes a game. That's Trent Forrest with 32.4.
Four Syracuse players
average more than 29 minutes a game. Four average at least 32 minutes a game. All of them average at least 32 minutes a game. All 11 players for Florida State that have played at least 19 games average at least 9.5 minutes a game. So not only are they seeing the floor, they're seeing pretty good minutes. Only one of those players is shooting less than 40% from the floor. Syracuse has 3 players in Joe Girard, Bryson Goodine, and Howard Washington that shoot less than 36% from the floor. None of the players who have played at least 19 games are shooting less than 67% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy Guerrier, Barama Sidibe, and Jesse Edwards all shooting less than that.
The depth
on this team is absurd.
It's crazy depth, and it's going to be such an interesting thing come Saturday when you start to get some more details as to the condition of Elijah Hughes, because we really don't know anything right now besides the fact that it was a lower leg or a lower body injury. It appeared that it was the upper left leg, and he tweaked it during warmups. We don't know the extent. We don't know if it is just a tweak that he needs a couple of nights. He's played before yesterday. He had played 40 minutes in 6 straight ACC games. Maybe it's just the body is a little fatigued and he needs some time to come back, or a little bit of time to just rest things up and get back to 100%. But we really have no idea what's going to happen Elijah Hughes-wise come Saturday. If Syracuse has to play a basketball game without Elijah Hughes, you take a depth issue and you make it 10 times worse, because you take one of the guys that averages, top 10 in the country in minutes played, and you take him out of the game, and you've now got to put bulk minutes to a guy like Quincy Guerrier, who we know has gotten into foul trouble game in and game out this season. If he can play a game where he stays out of foul trouble, you're going to be all right, but it's still, there's nothing that can compare to the minutes that Hughes gives you. And it's going to be such a troublesome depth issue, and it all just kind of spirals down from there. You take Hughes out of the game, Buddy Boeheim is now the defensive focus of an incredible defense that Florida State has to offer. You mentioned what a guy like Vassell could do against Joe Girard. Imagine what he could do against Buddy Boeheim, because you've seen Buddy Boeheim get locked up against strong defensive players a couple of times this season, and that could be the case. If they play him close up, they play a man-to-man defense, if they play him close, face guard him the entire game, I'm not sure he's going to have the ability to create shots for himself or get open looks. So it's going to be a really, really tough game, because now option number one, if Hughes is out, is gone, and option number two, if Hughes is out and Boeheim gets locked up, that's gone, and you've got to play that same game against NC State, and I just can't imagine you're going to get the same 46-point production out of Guerrier and Joe Girard.
Right, and that's really important to note, too, because, I mean, we've been talking for how long about Florida State and how good defensively they are. It's not going to matter if Elijah Hughes doesn't play in this basketball game.
No.
I mean, we're talking about how Syracuse can maybe get something going on the offensive end of the ball, offensive side of the ball, if Elijah Hughes is not playing in this game. Everything we've kind of talked about with how good Florida State is defensively, kind of how weird they are offensively,
it
understanding this Florida
yeah.
State team, it really doesn't matter if Syracuse isn't at full strength, because we're trying to break down this Florida State team and say how Syracuse can beat them. They're not beating them without Elijah Hughes.
No.
just to put it frankly. I mean, Elijah Hughes is too important to this Syracuse basketball team for him to be out and the Orange to still have a chance down in Tallahassee.
However, I will say, is it not we always kind of reference this, is it not the Syracuse brand?
Oh, it would be so quintessentially
for an Elijah Hughes-less Syracuse to go on the road and knock off Florida State. Like, is that not Syracuse basketball in a nutshell?
Pretty much.
But it is. It's such a devastating loss and such a, if they have to play without him, such a, I don't know, you're basically taking a needle to the balloon that is the rest of this season.
Right.
I mean, I'm hopeful he comes back, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he was feeling it in warm-up. It wasn't something that he hurt during the game. Syracuse.com put in a report that he tried to go and just realized that he couldn't. He's been overworked a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I think he leads the ACC in minutes. So, you know, it's understandable. Hopefully he's back, and this was just a cramp thing or a rest thing or something like that. But I think one of the major focuses too is Florida State. As much as we don't give them credit for their offense, because you know it isn't the best offense in the country, and we'd be lying if we were saying it was. They lost by 5 points to Duke and shot 38% from the floor,
and shot 16% from three, yeah,
and 60% from the free throw line. They're the best free throw shooting team in the conference, the second best 3-point shooting team in the conference. And as Brandon just said, everyone's shooting over 40%. They're not going to shoot 38% from the field again. Like, it's not going to happen.
No.
You know, and especially because there's no, like, Trey Jones up there making them, you know, miss
There's
all
not
these
that defensive specialist.
No. So, no. You know, Syracuse is going to need Hughes. It's going to, you know, everything's going to have to go right. Could Syracuse win this game? Of course they can. They can win. I truly believe the Syracuse Orange can beat and lose to any basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
On the entire planet,
this team especially.
This team especially, though. I will. Yeah.
So, I mean, if
you
this
know,
team hits threes,
it's done. It's pretty much done.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of teams have won when Vassell has gone off, and everyone else has kind of not done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vassell is great, but he's not, you know, going to completely win you a game. So maybe if they just say whatever, Devin Vassell is going to do what he's going to do, and we're not going to let, you know, Forrest and Walker and all these guys contribute.
Mm-hmm.
I could see maybe you still winning, but really, if they hit threes, it's pretty much done.
At this Florida State team, the more you look at the defense, the more you realize it is outstanding coaching and just Syracuse is going to struggle in this game.
Leonard Hamilton is a 3-time coach of the year.
Leonard Hamilton is fantastic.
He's a coach that not a lot of people know about.
Look at the box score the last year.
He's a great coach.
When Florida State came to the Carrier Dome, Syracuse has 4 players score in the basketball game.
Yeah.
Tyus Battle with 23, Elijah Hughes with 17, O'Shea Brissett with 16, Buddy Boeheim with 6. Nobody else scores.
That's the most last year box score, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's absurd.
The whole team passes around, and they're like, oh, well, I guess it's Tyus'
oh,
turn.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Syracuse turns the ball over 19 times, and 4 players score.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Such a hideous basketball game.
My goodness. Syracuse loses that game 80-62.
It's and I remember that game and it was hard to describe it with words other than like depressing because it never felt like we had a chance. And that's really what the defense is gonna do to you. I mean, Forrest had 8 steals against Duke. 8 steals in one game. Against guards that, you know, unfortunately to say this, are better than Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard. So, yeah. You know, if they can force that many turnovers out of Jones and Stanley and guys like that, it's going to be a problem. I mean, I like giving Leonard Hamilton some credit.
Oh, yeah.
Great coach. He's the reason that the Florida State program, I mean, he really has turned around.
The underrated stat line from that Duke game with Trent Forrest is he's 2 steals and 1 rebound away from a triple-double.
Yeah.
Not the conventional triple-double route by any means,
oh my goodness,
but just such an incredible defensive player on his own. But this whole team is so strong defensively. It's going to be such a tough game for Syracuse because there are, 1, so many question marks going into it, and 2, so much on the line. With so much on the line, I expect it to at least be competitive, but it's just, it's going to be one of those games that you don't know. You just don't know what to expect. And it could be one of those Syracuse is starting hot from 3 and they're going to get out to a big lead. But you've seen it time and time again. that they haven't held on to leads. They've lost leads. They've blown big leads. That 16-point lead against Wake Forest, the 6-point lead against NC State, the 9-point lead against Virginia Tech, game in and game out. You're up 21-14 against Duke. It's blown leads consistently. When you look at the losses and even some of the wins that Syracuse has racked up this year, you've got to be able to play a game start to finish. Or when you get that 6- to 10-point lead, even larger, you've got to be able to run away with it. You can't let teams chip their way back into the game. And I know it's because of how streaky this team is. A lot of runs for Syracuse, a lot of runs against Syracuse, but there needs to be something. You've got to find that cutthroat moment where you're going to put a team out of its misery and just go for the jugular. You've got to slit the throat because you've got to be in that situation. You can't let a team stand up and start punching you again. You've got to keep them down and have the ref tap them out.
There needs to be a lot. Quite frankly, Syracuse loses 79-74 last night to NC State. This Florida State game on the road on Saturday becomes even more of a must win.
Yeah.
And we've sat here for the last half hour talking about Florida State, and I think we've kind of maybe convinced ourselves that they are even better than we thought they were because they don't jump off the board. They don't have these superstar players, but they are a fantastic, fantastic basketball team. But in the final few minutes here, let's try to talk about what Syracuse needs to do right to win this game. This needs to be a nearly flawless game for Syracuse. I think number one, probably the most obvious, Elijah Hughes needs to be healthy.
Yeah.
Elijah Hughes needs to play in this basketball game for Syracuse to have a chance. Number two, limit turnovers. Mm-hmm. Joe Girard had a really good game against NC State. One of the most underrated things about his day, one turnover.
Yeah.
One turnover for Joe Girard. If you're getting one turnover from your point guard, that's a really, really good day. If Joe Girard can keep it to under five turnovers in this game, I'd honestly be pretty happy with that. I think that's a decent day for Joe Girard. You're hoping for 2-3 turnovers somewhere there. That would be a great day for Joe Girard. That's my second key. Three, I think Quincy Guerrier and Barama Sidibe need to have really, really good days. Because
what's the number? What do they need to combine for? My
foul
initial
wise or points wise?
Points wise.
Barama Sidibe sure needs I'm to saying, not foul out in I think, 12 minutes.
I think you need you
I
need
think
productive
a combined
minutes.
20 from the two of them.
Yeah. Most of the times when they combine for 20, it's like 14, 6 or like.
I think
Quincy Guerrier has the potential to go for another double-double in this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think he has to play well again.
Like we said, this is an undersized Florida State team. They are not huge down low.
Yeah, this is one of those games where
really big opportunity. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
This is one of those games where you want Guerrier to be getting those bulk minutes and Sidibe to just be playing some more marginal and roll minutes in this one because of the size. When you've got the two bigs, there are 2 7-footers on this Florida State team. When they're in the game, give me Sidibe. Play Sidibe out there, but there's 50% of the minutes where neither of them are in the game. That's when you got to roll with Guerrier because that is the prime matchup for him to be able to fight for rebounds and play his best offensive game.
So those are my three keys. Elijah Hughes, healthy, limit turnovers. Quincy Guerrier has a big day. Owen, your three keys.
My key, and we kind of touched upon it in that conversation, you've got to stay out of foul trouble.
Yep.
The depth is such a question mark, especially with Hughes' health at up in the air still. If you play a game where Sidibe and Guerrier and Dolezal get into quick foul trouble, there's no prying yourself out. Jesse Edwards has actually played, I mean, he didn't play great, but he didn't play terribly. I thought he did the job yesterday, and obviously he misses a putback down five towards the end of the game, but I thought he played an okay game. You can't rely on him to be playing these big minutes. He can't be the guy. If you've got him in there a little bit, fine, but if those guys get into foul trouble and you've now got to have Jesse Edwards be the five playing bulk minutes because there are no other options, you're going to be in trouble. There are a lot of things that can go wrong, and there are a lot of things that you can control, and I know there are some points where you can't necessarily control it, but for a lot of the game and a lot of these moments, you can control the number of fouls you pick up. If you play that smart game that Jim Boeheim has mentioned in press conference after press conference, if you're Quincy Guerrier, if you're Barama Sidibe, pick up the smart fouls. If someone's driving to the basket and you get him on the arm, fine. As long as they miss the basket, fine. Take that foul. That's a good foul. And you've got to make them earn the points. If you're going to pick up that touch foul after you let up a rebound, or if you're going to try and just pull some idiotic moment where you just pick up a silly foul fighting after a loose ball that you have no business being there, that's not going to be okay. So you've got to be able to play smart, stay out of foul trouble, and if you can do that, you'll put yourself in a decent position to be competitive in this game.
Ben, your final key.
And my last key is just going to be that you have to make threes. You know, they the Orange have only once in their last five games shot over 30% from three-point range. They have struggled mightily after, you know, that five-game win streak. They were shooting the ball like crazy. But now they've hit a bit of a rut, and they have shown a better ability to score inside than maybe a lot of us knew at the beginning of the year. But Florida State is going to have a better shooting performance than they did against Duke. Like, they would have to have, again, their worst shooting performance of the year to top that. Syracuse has to shoot better. There are a couple games this year where, you know, it's as simple as, you know, you have to make shots to win basketball games, and you can point to Clemson. You can even point to how close Wake Forest got at a certain point, and they just were not hitting enough shots, and they need to hit shots against Florida State.
The most important game of the regular season for Syracuse. I think we're going to say that pretty much every time we're here on the podcast talking about how the next game is the most important. There's only seven
regular
games
yet. At least the next two.
The next two is essentially the season.
It's the season.
Unless Syracuse picks up its first ACC tournament championship.
You never know.
Which is the reason that the rule is there, so it's entirely possible.
Once we hinted at it. I think even better than defeating a Florida State without Elijah Hughes, the best finish would be Syracuse wrapping the season up at 16-15
and then winning the ACC tournament.
That would drive the entire country crazy because it just seems like Syracuse has a knack for sneaking its way into tournaments it has no business being a part of.
Well, I remember just to go back for 1 second to the game last night, the NC State game. You know, I just remember watching that game. Syracuse fouls, NC State misses two free throws. I was like, who is paying these guys to keep Syracuse in games? Like
the double lane violation, the possession arrows going towards Syracuse.
What? Like, you know. The
basketball gods wanted them to win.
There's something about Syracuse where, you know, every once in a while they pull it off, which gives you that little bit of hope. They just stay on the absolute edge of the fringe of being in it, whether it's a game or it's the conference or it's the tournament, whatever it is. They just, for some reason, never seemed to be 100% out of it.
It felt
it's
like
incredibly stressful.
That 3-minute stretch last night when they were down five, everyone, the officials, the basketball gods, even NC State Wolfpack wanted Syracuse to win that basketball game. Everything went in their favor until they started playing the offensive end.
Yeah.
And then it just, you know, it went up in the air and went to crap. But it was such, it's the example. Yeah. Syracuse always has opportunities, and even when you're in this dire position right now where your back is more than against the wall, you're still taking punches with the back against the wall, but for some reason you can't count them out yet just because of the history and because of every one of those stories where they have been counted out and somehow sneak their way in. It's going to be a tough chance for Syracuse to find its tournament or to find the NCAA tournament. I'm saying, what, 3-5%?
It's the middle of Rocky III, and we're waiting for another training montage before Syracuse comes back and gives it another shot. The biggest shot on Saturday at Florida State. You will not want to miss any minute of that action. Be sure to tune in to WAER starting at 11:30. We'll get you going with countdown to tip-off before the start of the game at noon. For Ben Schulman and Owen Valentine, I'm Brendan Mortensen. We'll catch you next time.